Good afternoon. This is Tim Sharada, Executive Vice President of Guild Investment Management. Today is March 16, 2018. On our podcast today, we have Rudy Bonable, Senior Research Analyst. As a reminder, if you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast. You can also find us on YouTube as well as our website, www.guildinvestment.com, where you can get weekly email updates from us. I'd like to introduce Rudy Bonable. He's going to go over the market summary.
Hey, Tim. We'll talk about the U.S. economy first. The U.S. economy is strong. Optimism is strong. Tariff battles, if they escalate, we think can hurt the prospects for a strong stock market in 2018. So we're monitoring those negotiations carefully. We think that the long-term objective of all tariffs is to get China to behave better, to stop dumping many products, not just steel and aluminum, in the United States. Another purpose is to stop intellectual property theft by China and by many other countries. So we're watching the responses from our trading partners and seeing what their plans are to actually do something to appease U.S. demands or to engage in tit-for-tat tariff escalations. We expect verbal sparring. What we're really watching for is whatever concrete actions develop. The economic backdrop continues to be very attractive. The CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is contained so far at about 0.2% a month, about 2.5% a year, which is what we expect to see in the next few months. Later in 2018, we expect to see higher material and labor costs, and that these will create a bit more inflation. One reason that labor prices are rising at about 3%, not much higher than the CPI, is that, as we mentioned in our letter this week, some of the millions of workers who have stayed out of the workforce for the past few years are now re-entering the workforce and being retrained with contemporary skills. Small business confidence, as measured by the NFIB, which is the National Federation of Independent Businesses, small business confidence is at its highest level in 34 years. A composite of seven such indicators of economic optimism is at the highest level in 20 years. These data are a sign of the animal spirits that have lifted optimism and lifted stock prices, and is one reason that we continue to say buy the dips. Stocks, while they've been volatile both up and down, are now recovering from the decline in early February to approach their old highs again. We anticipate that this volatility will continue throughout 2018, and we see it as creating opportunities to buy on dips. Our continuing view is that we expect a solid uptrend for U.S. stocks in 2018. The U.S. industries that we see that have tailwinds are, first, technology, which is changing the world, creating lots of new and money-saving methods to grow and prosper in the U.S. and everywhere. Tech stocks have a huge tailwind. Financial institutions, including banks, brokers, credit card issuers, financial technology firms, and some insurance companies, will, over the coming months, enjoy widened profit margins as interest rates rise and increased volatility creates trading opportunities for them. Many manufacturers have strong backlogs and improving market penetration and have been penalized in the last 2 weeks as fears of the trade war have circulated through the stock market. The tariffs will probably blow over and be reduced or horse-traded for other benefits to the U.S. and its world security concerns. We anticipate that internationally focused manufacturing companies might be under a cloud for a few months. Focus on domestic manufacturing companies, which to some extent may escape some of those fears. A further word on the tariffs. The tariffs are part of a much more far-reaching negotiation than they appear to be. As we wrote last week, we view the announcement of tariffs and the announcement that some countries would be spared from tariffs as negotiations on several levels. What that means is that by announcing these tariffs and then by backing off on some of them, the U.S. is using a popular negotiating tactic, that is, to set a high goal for negotiating partners while expecting a final outcome that is less ambitious. The U.S. wants to improve its trade position, not create a trade war. Negotiators using this approach start with a strong negotiating position and then compromise as the people across the table move towards their own position. A few points. The U.S. has put pressure on European countries to spend more on NATO as well as to stop buying cheap Chinese steel and aluminum and then transshipping it to the U.S. China and the rest of the world has been put on notice that although only a small part of U.S. steel imports come from China, the U.S. knows that much of what we get from Canada, Mexico, Turkey, and many other countries is steel and aluminum that they could have used domestically. These nations and many others buy cheap Chinese steel and aluminum to use domestically and then export their own production to us. Korea has been put on notice, that while we appreciate their good work on North Korea, and we will reward them eventually with an exemption on steel and aluminum, they should stop dumping their excess production of electronic products in the U.S. Suffice it to say that the world now understands that the U.S. is aware of ill dealings going on in many trade activities for many products, and that we don't intend to let it continue. As our foreign trading partners come to understand this, we believe that they will negotiate various trade mechanisms that will allow the U.S. to attain its trade goals as well as its other goals. For example, to have NATO partners pay their fair share of Europe's defense costs. If things worked out as is hoped, and this is a big if, alliances will be created to achieve shared international objectives, and the U.S. and its allies will work together to achieve joint goals and to fairly share the expenses of those efforts. Historically, the U.S. has borne the expense of being the global cop and the major global benefactor to poor nations. The American voting public knows this and has come to resent the fact that the U.S. has borne an unfair burden. The U.S. is the largest importer on Earth. Every nation that trades with the U.S. wants to keep that trade relationship open and healthy. Trade partners are expected to talk tough at first, but over time they will negotiate and improvements will happen that will be beneficial to the U.S. on many levels. We're optimistic that improvements, rather than a trade war, improvements will be the outcome of these negotiations. If we're wrong, and a trade war does eventually develop, we will be quick to point this out to clients and our listeners. We remain generally negative on Europe because we see better opportunities elsewhere in the world. We continue to see opportunity in several Asian countries, especially in parts of the Chinese economy, such as insurance and tech, in Vietnam, in India, and in Korea. Because inflation has not yet heated up on a global level, we still favor manufacturing nations rather than commodity-producing nations. Japan is facing a political crisis. A good deal depends on Prime Minister Abe keeping his position. He has been the strongest advocate for quantitative easing, which has greatly helped Japan and which has indirectly helped the world return to growth since 2008. Gold remains in a trading range and will not break out until it exceeds $1,340 per ounce. Mainstream digital currencies remain range-bound and volatile under a cloud of developing and possibly more stringent regulations on initial coin offerings and trading platforms, although there was good news from Germany this week in the legal treatment of Bitcoin. Thanks for listening. Please send us your calls and questions. And if you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks.